So let's switch gears now, if I can use a mechanical metaphor here, because really why we are delighted that you're with us is that today you've been writing about new U.S. Census numbers that just came out, national numbers on household income, poverty rate, and health insurance. So is there good news for us on this front?
There's mostly good news. Look, it's National Census Day. For those of you who didn't know, it's a very exciting day for those of us in the wonk world who wait for this once a year. I know, you know, you probably hear about like income numbers all the time. Oh, this came out, this came. But the census numbers are the definitive annual numbers, right? They come out this week and they tell us how households in the middle are doing. Right. Yeah. And households in the middle did pretty well in 2016. Incomes for the median household grew about 3%. Last year, that in 2015, they grew about 5%. That makes the 2015-2016 year the best two-year spurt in terms of income growth since the 1960s. That's really good news.
I'm hearing the sound of thousands of politicians patting themselves on the back right now. But okay, so the absolute numbers seem to show a significant uptick. But, you know, people, I don't think they are feeling any better off.
Well, I hope they're feeling a little better off.
Okay, maybe a little.
There are a lot of reasons, and there are a lot of reasons not to feel better off. I mean, there's some surprises in the numbers, too. One is that household incomes are up. Great. Earnings aren't up. Well, wait, how is that possible that individuals aren't earning more, but households are getting more money? That seems very strange. There is an explanation for it, which is that more people in those households are working, mm-hmm. and they're working longer. So if you work more hours, and if somebody else in your family gets a job, your household will get more money. But nobody's getting raises, which should also be happening if the economy is really growing quickly. It doesn't seem to be happening.
And so what about when we drill down into factors like race, geography? Is everybody feeling the same sort of bump?
Same story, sort of good news, bad news. The good news really is the racial breakdown. Virtually every racial group saw an increase in median household income. Black households saw an increase of like 5.7%, gigantic increase. Hispanic households over 4%, but also white non-Hispanic households and Asian households. So there is no real racial differentiation. Geographically, though, there is. You're better off in an urban core as opposed to a rural area. That's obviously a widening divide in America. Didn't seem to have turned around at all in 2016.
More about gender.
So I think this was, for me, it's sort of the most interesting little twist in the story. The gender pay gap, which has been, you know, the just focus of attention for a long time now, shrunk. You know, women caught up a little bit.
Nobody
in terms
can see
of
my
pay
raised
equality.
Eyebrows
yeah.
of surprise.
Wait, really? yeah, except it's not great news. I mean, this is what we want, a path towards pay equality. Except the reason they caught up isn't that women got paid a lot more in 2016 than they had been in 2015. It's that men's pay went down.
Huh.
And in fact, this is what's been going on for the last 10 years or so. The wage gap is closing because men are earning less and women are earning just a little bit more.
Wow. Okay. So that's definitely not good news overall then. Absolutely. No, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's hard to know exactly what to take away. You could, the census numbers could be a lot worse than this. You could have poverty going up. You could have household incomes. I mean, this happened in 2008, 2009. The economy looked terrible. What we have now is mostly blue skies with some menacing clouds. I'd rather there weren't menacing clouds. But I'll take the blue skies for the moment.
But Evan, how does this actually compare? I mean, this is, you're looking at 2015, 2016 numbers, but you mentioned 2008 and the economic cataclysm that year represented. Are these figures of household income, wages, et cetera, have they fully rebounded to pre-2008?
No. We're still mostly waiting. There's been some mixed reporting on this for technical reasons. But basically, the household income numbers are still slightly below where they were in 2007, just before the recession, and still substantially below where they were in 1999, in the Clinton boom years. So the other Clinton, the one we don't talk about anymore. So what this means is that things are getting better, but we're still way below where we were in 1999. And this is for your household in the middle,
right?
That's really what we're talking about. Middle-class households, people right in the middle of the distribution, they haven't seen any gains in 20 years.
Well, and this is truly, sobering news because it makes it, you know, a lost couple of decades for middle-income Americans, as you're saying. But we know that it didn't take long after 2008 for the top 1% to regain, you know, what they had lost plus some.
Yeah. So a lot of this money is flowing up. Money's not supposed to flow up. Everything's supposed to trickle. No, it is flowing up, and the 1% are taking a huge amount of the gains. But it's not impossible. This is not an economic inevitability.
Right.
It really is possible to have broad-based wage gains, and we could be doing more to that end.
Okay. So then, I mean, I know that you are our data guy and our wonk guy, but I'm going to drift into politics a little tiny bit here. Who gets to pat themselves on the back? Is this sort of the late-stage momentum from policies put into place by the Obama administration? Or, you know, does Donald Trump get to say a certain amount of these changes happened because he took office in January?
Well, it can't be Donald Trump because this is all from 2016.
So, details.
I mean, you need like a time machine. I'm imagining the scenario. So probably not.
But even this is why I don't write the wonk.
Even President Obama probably shouldn't be patting himself on his back, at least not for this. You want to think about the Federal Reserve. They probably have the most influence on economic cycles in this way. And they kept monetary policy very loose for a very long time, which enabled a recovery, the middling recovery that we have. They could keep it looser for even longer. I think you would get a better labor market and more wage gains. They're fighting about that right now. But I think, you know, if anybody gets credit for getting this far, it's the Fed.
Wow. Okay. So one more thing before we go, Evan. We didn't talk about health insurance. What do the numbers say? Because Massachusetts gets to claim the lowest uninsured rate in the nation again.
Yet again. It is something we can be justly proud of. It is a long legacy here because we started before everybody else doing Romney Care before it became the national model for President Obama and Obamacare. And it's the reason that the uninsurance rate in the state is under 3%. Very impressive. It's a sign that if you do it right and you put the money into it, you really can get close to universal health care using market principles. On the other hand, no other country even really needs to measure these things. Other advanced countries, everybody has health insurance. You don't have to figure out how many people are uninsured. Nobody's uninsured. So there's a little bit of a mixed bag there, too.
Evan, you always bring that very thorny context to these data stories.
I do my best.
Well, Evan Horowitz writes the quick study column for the Boston Globe. It is always great to talk to you, Evan. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Meghna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.